Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and we are coming to you live from CrimeCon here at the Paris Hotel in Las Vegas. And we have a repeat guest,
yep,
Gigi from Pretty Lies and Alibis podcast. No, Julie, you're walking right in front of the camera. So welcome.
Yeah, it's so good to meet you in person. I feel like I knew you.
Well, we just chatted on Zoom or something the last time. And
we did.
And I know you're in touch with Julie quite a bit.
Yeah, always, we're back and forth.
You always have the good info on everything. Good gouge.
We get lucky. You know, it's we do have people that trust us with stuff. And we don't put it out there. It's not something that, you know, if we know about charges coming, it's not, we didn't work that case. It's the investigators that should have that right to, you know, put it out. But it does help us to kind of know what's going on so we can work around that. And so we do get some information sometimes. And yeah.
No, I mean, you've sent us stuff where like something's coming down. It's like, but can't
right.
share
you. Can't like, tell okay. you what it is, can't, but you might want to have your alerts on.
Might want to have our alerts on. So yeah, we trust you. So that's good.
Well,
so,
we appreciate that.
So first of all, why don't you tell us about your podcast, which is obviously a huge success, big hit.
Yeah, and we're having fun.
And tell everybody about that, and then we'll talk about CrimeCon.
Yeah, so I have a podcast with my best friend of 30 years. Her nickname is Fruit Loop. And we, you know, it was kind of born out of COVID boredom. I had done this years ago on an internet show and got out of it to just be mom. And then when we were in lockdown, you know, you can only binge so many TV shows. You can only watch so many movies. And I read the first article on Lori and Chad's case. And I told Fruit Loop, who was coming and hanging out a lot because, you know, just it, we were all locked down. And I said, look, I know you don't really follow true crime too closely, but you need to read up on this case. This is going to be a huge case, I have a feeling. So for months, we were just going through social media accounts before things got really buried with just news articles. And we started learning a lot about all the main players in this. And the day, and I said about 2 months before we started, I kept saying, we need to start a podcast. Like, we have fun together. What we're talking about now, we can just put that out there for listeners. So the day I got an alert from Nate Eaton's Twitter on my phone that they had a backhoe at Chad Daybell's property, I called Fruit Loop and I said, get over here. We're doing this. Like, it's now or never. So we started off in a back closet with an iMac, built-in microphone, and live streamed for 2 hours. It's really crazy to go back and listen to now.
I know. It's
yeah, it's
funny.
Fun.
I look back at some of my first videos that I put up, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe that I did that. But like anything in life, you have to start somewhere.
You do, and I'm so glad we did. You know, we were just talking about how it's really surreal to be here, and then people that watch you or listen to you come up, and you know, sometimes you feel like you're just talking into a microphone.
I know.
And, you know, we love our listeners, but it's just so amazing to meet people. And then you realize, wow, you know, people do love what we do.
I know. It's, I was, not that we're, go back over the whole conversation, but it's so humbling.
I mean,
I've had people literally jumping up and down, oh my gosh, it's Scott Reich, it's Scott Reich.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's an ego thing. It's just like, oh my gosh, this is so humbling. I got to step up my game and do even a better job because these people listen to me, care what I have to say. They act like, you know, Frank, Julie, the lovely Miss Kristen.
Right.
I mean, where's Winnie?
Right.
I mean, it's, it, like I said, it's just very humbling that these people take their time out of their day to listen to
us.
Some people said, I came to CrimeCon just to see you.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, you know, it's just, like I said, it's humbling is the word. It's not like, oh, I'm so important. This is so...
No,
it's
but,
completely the opposite of what you would think. Like, oh, they think they're so special. No, it's just humbling that people listen to us and take time out of their day. It's
yeah, just, or and what even blows your mind more is to see somebody with your shirt on.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane. It's just so cool. And, you know, it means a lot. And it's, you know, we don't do it to hear ourselves talk. So it's just nice that people let you know they do enjoy it. So... Yeah, this has been an amazing, amazing experience so far.
I've had people come up and said, you inspired me to become a paralegal.
Wow.
To go to law school.
Awesome.
I had a gentleman come up today. He goes, "You're the son that I never had."
Oh.
And I was just like, oh my goodness. Like, yeah. Really? Like, I mean, he just, it was such a nice gentleman.
Yeah, it's cool. Now, can I say that you are much taller in person than I thought you would be?
You're not the first person that said that.
Really?
You know, because normally I'm sitting behind a desk, and, you know, by the end of it, I'm usually, you know,
that was like the first thing. That was the first thing I noticed. I said, wow, he's tall. Yeah. So if you're wondering, he's not short. He's
and
tall.
I never feel like I'm tall. That's because this is just my height.
Right.
Until I get into a room or an elevator.
Then
I kind of tower over, but I was like, I guess I am. I'm only 6'3". I don't think that's...
Only 6'3". Yeah, well, I'm 5'4", so you're tall.
Well...
Frank's raising his hand. Yeah.
Yeah.
Us vertically challenged people don't know what it's like to look down on the top of people's heads.
So this is your first Crime Con.
Yeah.
Just like ours as well. You going to come back?
I want Fruit Loop here next year. That's like my thing is... I want her to experience this too. Like, I'm looking so forward to Orlando.
Yeah, I mean, we should literally be, there's the nice lady from,
that's Kathy Russin from Law and Crime.
Law and Crime. She goes, I know you yesterday. And I'm like, Law and Crime, you gave me my first community strike.
Oh, yeah. She told me about that. You know what? I go way back with her, actually. We sat in the Jody Arias case together. I've known Kathy for years.
Really?
And she had court chatter, and Dan Abrams bought her out, and that eventually became Law and Crime Network. So,
really?
Yeah, she's taken off a lot since I've known her.
Yeah, she was very nice. I said, you got my first strike.
Yep.
From you guys. She goes, oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
It didn't hurt you too bad, did it? I'm like, I couldn't go live for 90 days.
Oh, wow.
And she goes, I'm sorry. She goes, we would handle things differently today. And I'm like, we need to work together.
Exactly,
let's,
yeah. Right.
You know?
Yeah, they're in all the courtrooms.
Yeah, they're in all the courtrooms.
Yeah.
And that'd be, you know, we should work together.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, the bigger, and what you notice here, there's so many podcasters.
Oh, my gosh. They're everywhere. And it's awesome. And a lot of them I listen to.
Yeah.
So it's been nice, to, you know, for me as a fan to meet podcasters I love. It's just really cool.
Exactly. And, you know, nobody seems to have an attitude like, only listen to me. You can't listen to that. Everyone's very supportive and like, hey, we should get together and do a collaboration.
Right.
And it just helps everybody.
That's how it should be. I think if you're doing true crime podcasting or whatever you do for the right reasons, it's all a common, you know, awareness for the victims, justice for the victims. It shouldn't be a competition. Last night we did a big, what we call a big slumber live with Lori Hellis and Hidden True Crime and Julie. And it was so much fun. And there wasn't an air of competition. We just all kind of bounced things off of each other. That's how it should be.
Yeah, I mean...
I have no room for drama, so.
Yeah, well, exactly. It should be a drama-free zone.
For sure.
Just, here's the information. Let's talk about it.
Right.
And the more people that are doing it isn't necessarily a bad thing. It just helps create even a greater audience base because somebody can be listening to, you know, one podcast that they like. And we've had so many people come up and say, I've never heard of you. Other people, like, hey, I'll give you a shot. You know,
right.
Well, I mean, it's just a good thing.
It's really, really neat. And then, you know, I just went to the first breakout session with Kay and Larry and Nate Eaton.
Okay.
Did you go? You went to that, right?
No, I got held up here.
Oh,
I wish
you?
I had because.
Oh, it was good. It was amazing. They got a standing ovation, and it was just so beautiful to see so many people supporting them. And Larry told some little stories about JJ that were great. They talked about just the process that those of us that follow the case know how it went with the welfare check. But I will say one thing that Nate Eaton said that made my ears stand up. They were talking about Joe Ryan and whether or not Kay and Larry thought maybe Lori was responsible for his death. And they kind of do. But Nate Eaton after that said somebody very close to this case has told him, you don't know the half of what they have on these people. And it coming from Nate, who has been on this case since day one.
Yeah, no,
it was a big statement.
He's a good source of information.
Yeah.
He really is. And, you know, the Woodcocks came by here yesterday and probably chatted. And Larry came back a second time
and
chatted.
Really? He's so awesome.
Just a nice guy. And we were talking, he I guess had planes or used to fly, so we were talking about aviation, and you know, he's had a tough time getting into retirement mode because he's worked his entire life, and like one day you're just going to stop.
That's my dad.
Obviously,
yeah,
this,
he's retired.
You know, the kind of with this case, it's, you know, like, you know, we need to focus on these things, and just a true gentleman.
Oh, very much. I mean, I have not seen Larry not talking to somebody. I haven't just seen him going from A to B. It is he stops and talks to everybody, and you know, I'd heard this after the hearing last week, that he went up to Chad and Lori's defense attorneys and shook their hand and said, I know you have a job to do. And they talked about that today. Nate brought it back up. And, like, that's all you need to know about what kind of people they are. And, they're just amazing. And I've just loved seeing them in person and hanging out with them a little bit. He's just amazing.
He's very pragmatic. He's a realist.
Yeah.
He understands, like I said, I know you have a job to do.
Right.
And he's... You know, he's there for JJ and, sure, and Tylee as well, to make sure they get justice. And he's, I'm going to see it through to the very end. And I'm going to say he's just a nice gentleman.
They're great.
He's actually called in to our program on our Patreon show.
Well, it's funny because yesterday I ran into them and they said, you know, Gigi, do you know where Scott is? We really want to meet Scott. And Kay said, I love him. So that's when I walked him over here to show.
Which goes back to the very humbling thing, right?
Right. Yeah. No. It
here
does.
Here I am talking about the case, kind of both sides. You know, the prosecution kind of slips up. I call him on it. You know,
right.
When the defense was completely screwed up, I called him on it. And like I said, it's very humbling that they kind of watched to, you know, kind of get the truth perspective on stuff, not just, you know.
Right.
Everything's going great. Everything's, you know, and so.
And what you have to consider, too, though, there are times where they learn stuff with us. When a news alert comes, it's not like they have this direct line into the prosecution and they know every step. And so for people who aren't used to legal matters, somebody like you with the platform you have, you know, how much more important could it be that a victim's family watches you to try to get insight into what's going on? So it's really amazing. And, you know,
she humbling.
She was very excited to meet you, I have to say. Yeah.
Which, like I said, is very nice. Like I said, you know, I'm the defense attorney guy. I'm the guy everybody, but they're, like you said, they look to us to get a perspective on it, which is it's just the greatest compliment as far as I can tell. Have you met anybody here that is like, you just couldn't wait to see?
Besides you. Joseph Scott Morgan, I have to say, is probably one of the nice human beings I've ever met in my life. Him and his wife are precious together.
Yeah.
But he is just the nicest man. One of the nicest men I've ever met. Very humble, you know, just a humble man, but very open. And, but for me, it's just meeting the listeners. That's like the best part.
I'm telling you. I didn't know what to expect coming here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been in places, you know, walking through an airport, but to see the excitement on people's faces where like, oh my gosh, God, I've been watching you since Chris Watts case, or it's just the coolest feeling. And like I said, not like, it's like, wow, this is a real responsibility.
Yeah.
Like, we need to make sure we get things right. Put out a good product every day, because it's just so cool. I mean, I had no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I really had no...
No, me either. This was so last minute for me. I mean, I booked everything late Sunday night, so I almost didn't come. I'm really glad I did. And what's cool about everybody here is it's a community. It's not... Everybody's so friendly and wants to talk, and everybody's just like a unit. It's like this big family reunion. You never met the family members, but you're all together.
And the first day, I think Julie had pictures of it before it officially opened. There were hundreds of people waiting, like just sitting outside to walk in. And then today I walk into the big auditorium. It was the discussion of JonBenet Ramsey case. They have the room set up for 3,000 people. It was nearly full.
Wow, yeah.
And I talked to somebody here. They said 5,000 people is what they expect to show up here.
Yeah.
And like I said, we don't get anything from CrimeCon, but I'm pretty impressed by the show that they put on here.
That was a really big breakout session. That was going on at the same time as Kay and Larry, so I went into theirs.
And that's what I was looking for. And I thought, well, this Larry must be coming in.
It was great though. It was an hour. And they took some questions from the audience, and so they did really well. They're about to have a meet and greet with Nate, where people here can go have their picture made with the three of them, and so they've seems like they've had a nice nice time too.
I'd like to meet Nate.
Me too.
Really a real solid reporter.
Oh yeah, he's been on it since day one. I mean, just he was in Hawaii. I didn't know this, but Shane Bishop from Dateline, who's another amazing person, he was the one holding the camera, I believe, when Nate was yelling, "Where are the kids, Lori? Where are the kids?"
Really?
So, so those two have really, I mean, day one. Wow. They've been on it. So, Nate, he's been amazing, and he's been very good to Kay and Larry, too, I think.
It seems like. But that's just part of being a professional.
It is.
It's just being nice to everybody.
Yeah, but I do think his heart is in this case too. There's that little bit where you have a new story, but I think it's touched him in a different way. I think you can tell that when he's talking with Kay and Larry or about the kids.
It's easy to talk about, it's just another case. But when you actually meet the people.
Yeah.
And it becomes emotional. Even as an attorney, it's like, the family's here. Mm-hmm. I was going to go pretty hard. Maybe I'll pull back just a little bit.
Right.
It's like I said, in today's world, it's so easy to sit behind a keyboard and say something. Really? Like, come say that to my face.
Right.
And that's why we have things in court where you have to come to court. And maybe, I don't mean it as much when you're sitting right across away from me.
And I think that it's important when you do what we do is to, for us, we never want to be the source of any misinformation or pain to a family that is grieving a loss that most of us, thank goodness, can't imagine.
Yeah.
So, for us, it's like the most important thing is to keep the ones that are truly suffering because of these horrible crimes in the center of how we do things, because these Facebook groups, they can get really nasty sometimes, and with this case, not so much. I've seen other ones where it's a lot worse, but I think sometimes as a whole we do forget that at the end of the day there are families broken because of the crimes we cover, and it's a big deal. And when you do meet these people and hug them, it's like you just want to pour so much love into them when you're hugging them, because I can't imagine, it's so foreign to most of us what having a family member who's been murdered would feel like. I can't even fathom. So, and they're brave to come here and tell their story, and,
Yeah, I mean, they truly are. But now that I've got you here, okay, because you are from my adopted home state of South Carolina.
Yes, I am, Mr. Marine Corps.
I love the state of South Carolina. My intent is to retire to the low country someday by myself. I got a little place there now, but I need some deep water property.
Nice.
Have a boat. That's the goal.
I think Moselle's for sale. You could get Murdoch's old property.
I saw that it just sold for $990. I think it was $950, but it was $35,000 over, because I follow the Beaufort Gazette.
Do you really? Okay.
Or the Island Packet, both
Island
of them.
Island Packet, that's what I follow.
It just sold. It was cash only.
Oh wow!
Had to close in 30 days, and the estate accepted it.
Oh,
I think it was like $950 is what it sold for.
Wow. Well, I could never. You could give me that property, and I would never sleep on it. I just could never sleep anywhere where people were brutally murdered. Just count me out. But
yeah. So that's my question. The Murdoch case. I mean, obviously, he's in custody.
Yeah.
He's not going anywhere
unless
he can post that $7 million bond.
Yeah, no.
When I was down there, it was the biggest thing that people were talking about. Is that the case in South Carolina?
Yeah. I know. Yeah. It's the, obviously. Because South Carolina is a small, everybody knows everybody, it seems, in South Carolina. You know somebody that knows somebody. So, I have a friend who her nephew owns a very upscale restaurant down in Bluffton. And he would come in with Maggie and his kids, and they said he was literally like the nicest guy ever.
Yeah.
But I've, you know, it's, this case is not, we haven't even scratched the surface of charges yet.
I don't think.
We've got four deaths. We've got Paul, Maggie, Stephen Smith, and the housekeeper, Gloria. Nobody's been charged in those murders yet. And I do believe Stephen Smith and Gloria, that was not an accidental fall. Come on, y'all.
No. And no disrespect for her, but somebody that's done some, you know, wrongful death cases. A woman, I think she's in her 60s.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot of left earning potential.
Right.
No insurance company in the world is going to pay out, I think it was a $3.5 million for her death.
It was large.
And I'm not being mean. I'm just telling you that's the way insurance companies look. They're going to be like, it's what they teach in law school. If you're going to, you know, accidentally run over somebody, get the old person homeless, they have no earning capacity, etc., versus the young person who was going to save the world, right?
Right.
Then I could get it. And I'm not, no disrespect to her, but
no,
which makes me think that there was people on the inside with the insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
We know that other attorneys, the banks, maybe even judges are involved in it.
Yeah.
And I have some friends that I served in the Marine Corps with that remained in that area. And I said, hey, why don't you come on? Let's talk about the Murdoch case. He goes, yeah, we can't talk about it.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to, I mean, everybody wants to talk about it, but nobody will go public about it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, because, I don't know that his reach is as far reaching as it was before all this. But what we've been told by people kind of in the know is that when this is over, you're going to know somebody that was affected by this case legally. It seems to be not just confined to the low country. So it's just, you hate to say the case that keeps on giving, but man, I mean, he's up for 700 and something years in prison, and this is without murder charges. I fully think, Mandy Matney from Fitz News put that out, that they found high velocity spatter. I think she maybe said it corrected and said it, she didn't say it was blood spatter, but it seems like they have some pretty solid stuff linking him to being there at the time of the murders, which obviously cuts into that ironclad alibi that his attorney says he has. So we will see. It's going to be a doozy.
I wonder if it's going to be that cell phone data that's going to do it, or maybe card data.
Yeah, and then, they had the private investigator watching Paul, who had a camera set up outside the entrance of the house. We don't know, was she recording that night? There's a lot of things we don't know yet.
I do believe, in my humble opinion, and some people don't like that we talk about this case, Murdoch case. That's boring. It's a white-collar crime. Oh, no, no. But just like the shirt says, it's always about the money.
Right? No, yeah, it is.
And then the question is does it rise to the level of murder for the money? One could possibly think his son, Paul, who was causing a lot of his legal and financial angst, is deceased. His wife, who was perhaps concerned about their legal and financial issues, was doing her own forensic analysis of the finances, just happened to wind up deceased.
Yeah, it's
a little more coincidence, right?
Yeah, a few red flags there. And the thing is, I mean, from what I understand, they weren't even living together towards the end. She was staying at the beach house in Edisto, and he was not. So.
And that's the one that just sold, was the Edisto property that I read.
The Edisto. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think Moselle, I don't know. I thought the last I heard it was for sale. I don't know if they ever,
Yeah, it was the Edisto that sold for, I think, $950.
Yeah, it was a nice price. I mean, nothing's cheap down there.
No, Edisto. I mean, anything in the low country is kind of pricey, but it's so beautiful.
It is really beautiful.
But your neck of the woods is pretty good, too, because you got the hills and the trees. And
yeah, it's Greenville's growing. There's not as many trees. They're cutting them all down and putting up these little pop-up neighborhoods. But we have a house at Myrtle Beach. Well, that's more touristy. And, so like Charleston, Beaufort, places like that, it's just, it is, to me, one of the most beautiful parts of the country.
Yeah.
It really is. It's just, we have a great low country.
I had a case in Charleston a couple years ago. Somebody may have done something on an airplane.
Oh, yeah.
That maybe was captured on video. And
oh, boy.
It was like on the front page of the drug report.
Wow.
That kind of stuff. But, so I did a case there. And, parts of it were when I was there, you wouldn't go to those parts of town because it was just dangerous. Like, should have bought property there 20 years ago. I just didn't have any money.
It's true. That's how downtown Greenville is. You know, 20 years ago, when I was in high school, you went downtown if you wanted drugs. On Main Street now, it's one of the best downtowns. We're always on some top 10 list of best small, you know, downtowns. And yeah, but no, South Carolina's great. It's just the humidity in the summer. You know, when did you go to Paris Island? What time of year?
Oh, no, I was stationed there.
Oh, you were? I thought you went to boot camp there.
No, I went to boot camp in San Diego.
Oh,
when
that's
I was a
better.
Young enlisted Marine. And then I had to go to Quantico to get commissioned, but then I got stationed at Paris Island, South Carolina. So I was there for 4 years.
Wow.
And I was on the drill field. When I showed up, I'm thinking, I'm going to be a lawyer. The general's like, we're short on series commanders. You're going to the drill field, Lieutenant. I'm like, yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so my day started about 3:30 and ended about 12 for the first 3 weeks of boot camp. But it was a great time. Much more fun being an officer than it was being the boot camp enlisted private. But that's for sure. But I loved it. Yeah, so I lived down there. That's why I just, you know, sometimes it's a little hot and humid. And
a little, yeah.
We would go for a run in the morning and literally just wring out our
T-shirts. I lose 5 pounds checking my mail, just walking back and forth. Water weight. Just
I need
in
that.
The summer.
I could. I got the Cobesity. I mean, seriously, I just like couldn't stop eating. I don't know what it was, and
yeah,
it goes on a lot easier than it comes off. My goodness.
Oh yeah, for sure.
All right, so we digress.
All right.
So let's go back to the Murdochs because I think this is going to be a huge case.
Yeah.
The Fitz News people. Do you know them?
Not personally, no.
Because we have tried to reach out to them. I know she has her own podcast.
She does, yeah. They're actually adapting that. Some production company has, they're using her podcast as the guide, and she's going to be like a producer on it. I mean, she's...
I would love to talk to them because I think there's three of them down there that are doing great work on the story.
Mm-hmm.
And we've reached out, and they haven't responded. So maybe if we publicly shame them.
Yeah, no, they're. I tell you
kidding.
What.
I'm just kidding.
No, you're good. But I mean, everything that they have reported is just spot on. They have the best sources for this case. That's the place to get your news about what's going on that's not public yet.
Did you see the story that they did the other day about the funeral parlor that he bought?
Yeah.
Like, I get it. I mean, everybody's going to die, so it's not a bad business, but...
Yeah, no.
It's... With all the people that are dropping dead around this guy, I mean...
Yeah, I think that's going to be a big deal. But gosh, I mean, it's just like when you think this story couldn't take a more bizarre turn, you get a funeral home story that he bought. And then it's like, what? Where did that?
And all the money, where did it go? I mean, the forensic accountants have gone through this. They have to know where every penny went because it's not like they were dealing in cash, right? It was here's $1 million goes to the trust account here.
No.
And his law firm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they all write checks. Here you go. We'll pay you whatever. Just, you know,
it is
get our name out of it.
I'm sure it's going to be an astronomical amount of money in the end. But I'm like you, where did it go?
Yeah.
There are a lot of theories about what he was involved in, but we'll see if it's true.
I'm telling you, it's going to be
particularly,
and we'll give everybody the presumption of innocence.
Of course.
Because we don't want to get sued.
Nope.
The presumption of innocence, but if charges were filed, say hypothetically speaking, against him, and he were to go to trial, it was going to be the biggest show, at least in South Carolina, that I could even possibly think of.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest one before Murdoch was Susan Smith, who drowned her two kids in the car, blamed it on a carjacker, come to find out her boyfriend didn't want kids. That happened when I was in high school. And, so that was, I think that was probably the biggest one besides Murdoch to come out of South Carolina that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
You know, that
I graduated
was a big
from
one.
High school. What was that, like 2015 or something?
Like 20-something. I'll be 45 this year. Like, I'm not one of those who hide my age. I earned these years. There's a lot of people who didn't get to age to 45, so I don't hide it. I'm proud of my age. But, I think I was in maybe high school when Susan Smith.
I remember the case.
Yeah.
Because everyone's thinking, who could drive the kids into the lake? Right?
Yeah, and then for days it was she had given a description for a composite sketch, and there's this, but, you know, I remember sitting there thinking, there's something off about this woman. It's just, you know, it's, I don't know if it's just an intuition, but, you know, yeah, I was like, ah, she did something.
Yeah, I remember that when that story broke. Nobody really believed her story.
No.
But like, oh, yeah, a composite sketch of somebody that robbed, you know, stole the kids. And didn't she make up a story? It was a black man.
A black carjacker. And the thing is, and we still do this in South Carolina, so when you're sitting at a red light and there's no cars anywhere and it takes forever, we call that a Susan Smith red light because her story was it was late at night, there were no cars around, and she was stuck at this red light for, you know, an amount of time that when you roll up, you wouldn't be waiting. It would turn green. And then this guy supposedly carjacked the kids and drove them in the lake. So, yeah, it was a crazy story. She's actually in prison about 30 minutes from where I live, and she's been in trouble over the course. She's hooked up with corrections officers and stuff like that. Yeah, she's been a little bad girl in there. So I think she's up for parole soon, but good luck.
Yeah. There's some people that I get the rehabilitation thing, but some people just can't.
Yeah. Right.
You don't deserve it. And your kids?
Yeah. Oh, it's, I can't imagine.
I mean, I've represented people accused of killing their children. Some have been convicted of it. But that's just...
Yeah, I can't imagine. Because my worst fear is something happened to my kids. So for me, to think that a mother could do that or a father or whatever, it blows my mind. It's so foreign to me.
I can tell you, as a criminal defense attorney, give me a good old-fashioned murder. You name it, any other case, child abuse resulting in death or homicide of a child. You just go in there complete underdog.
Yeah.
Because everyone's just like, the mother has one job in life, and that's to protect your children. And you know, throughout nature,
right?
Mama bears protect, you know, they protect their young.
Yeah.
And to some people just... don't have that instinct, I think. And
well, the case that's local for us right now, I'm going to start attending. It's like May 19th is the Ariel Robinson trial, where she was on the Food Network for the worst cooks in America and had the three foster kids and beat Victoria Rose Smith to death. I sat in the hearing a couple of weeks ago. Her husband pled guilty. So he's facing up to 20 years in prison. He's going to testify against her, but that's a big case that I'll be sitting in for. So that one's coming up for us. We're going to be covering that one daily.
That'll be interesting.
And I've talked to some of her family, and I know people who know them, and just a tragic case. You know, it's one of those things you go back now and look at her Instagram, and you do see bruises on this child. And she had lost a lot of weight and just looked very unhealthy. But this was these kids were a prop for her. Yeah. I really think she kind of got on that reality show wave and got some merchandise out there. And I really think that these kids, to her, were going to be this maybe some reality show about adoption, different races adopting different race children.
Sure.
And that's kind of what we've heard locally, is that that was her goal. But, you know, just we've been seeing so many of these cases lately where foster kids, adopted kids are getting murdered. It's just, it's insane.
Unfortunately, you know, obviously there's children that go into the system where their parents were probably not the best. If they're being placed in foster care, that means that there was nobody either able or willing to take the child, because their goal is always to reunify the family and keep the family. So that basically says nobody wants these kids, so they're kind of forgotten.
Right.
And, you know, there's so much abuse, both physical and sexual, unfortunately, of children in foster care. Not all of them. But
right. No,
there's some very good people that do that work.
Yes.
But there's also a lot of people that do that work so that they can get nearer the children.
Or make money,
because it's always about the money.
It's always about the money, yeah. It's insane. But, yeah, so we're going to follow that one. And, you know, and the other one, too, is Harmony Montgomery. Just it blows my mind that you can go 2 years and nobody has seen a child. There's nobody that was looking for that poor baby for two solid years. I'm speechless.
Because nobody cared.
Unfortunately, there are a lot of people out there that would have taken her and loved her. But, you know, but in Victoria Rose Smith's case, the mom was doing everything that she was being asked to do. and she still couldn't get her kids back. And, you know, like, her point is she had some addiction issues, but she never hurt her kids. And so they go into foster care, and then one's murdered. You know, it's just, it's a crazy world sometimes.
It is crazy, and it's a scary world at times, too.
Yeah. My 10-year-old just doesn't understand why I say, you can't just go ride your bike around the block by yourself. I'm sorry.
Look at the Lily case up in...
so disturbing. Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Riding two blocks from her aunt's house home, and she gets abducted by a 14-year-old, basically. Somebody she
her
knew.
Cousin.
Her cousin, yeah.
Yeah.
And bludgeoned and abused as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. But
it is.
It's a scary world.
Yes, it is, especially when you have children in it. I have, you know, 16-year-old, 15-year-old, 10-year-old, and, man, every day I'm just, you know, all you can do is hope and pray that you or somebody you love does not become a statistic and doesn't come in contact with people who are just evil.
Yeah. I mean, I have a 27 and 25, and I still... worry.
Yeah.
You know? My daughter was supposed to go to New York this weekend. I'm like, where are you staying? Oh, my friends and I will probably just stay at a hostel. Like,
oh, no. That's how a lot of Dateline episodes start. You know,
exactly.
Don't do that.
Yeah, we just, quick weekend. We lost her.
No, and it's true. You know, just walking back to my hotel at night when this is done, you think what happened here a few years ago at the MGM Grand with the country concert. These are just normal people here having fun. And just taking a little break, and then you got one madman with a lot of ammunition, and you look what happened that night.
We were actually out here for celebrating my daughter's 21st birthday. We left the day before that happened.
Wow.
She was actually supposed to go to that concert.
Holy moly.
Wasn't feeling well, and she and her friends decided to drive back to school.
Wow.
So it just makes you think how lucky we are, because how quickly one, you know, your life, all those victims, families, there was like 60 of them.
Oh,
so it was crazy,
it was madness. But, you know, so that just goes to show you, too, every time you step outside of your door, you're taking a chance. I mean, if you think about it from a true crime perspective, you know, you're out there, and all you got to do is hope and pray. You don't come in contact with somebody who just has evil in their heart and wants to cause destruction. That's what makes it such a scary world to me.
And so random.
Yeah.
It's just so
random.
Yeah. I mean,
people just enjoying a concert. I go to concerts constantly. But I have to say, after that, now I always look and say, where's the nearest exit?
Yeah. Or
what's the quickest way I can get out of here if something goes south? That's just what the world we live in now, though.
We went to the movies a couple of weeks ago, or last week, I guess it was. And it's been probably the first time in a while because of COVID. And literally, I mean, still remember, because I'm in the Denver area where we had this Aurora Theater shooting, and you always check those exits these days.
I sat in that trial for a little bit. Yeah,
did
I was
you?
In the courtroom for that for about a week. Very chilling when you sit in a courtroom with somebody like that who is accused of murdering innocent people, and making eye contact with them, it sends a chill up your spine.
Yeah.
Jodi Arias, too. The thing about her that really blew my mind was she was so small. And they had her dressed like a librarian, of course.
Of course.
But then you see the autopsy pictures, and you know what she did to him. It's just, I tell you what, jealousy, hate can cause little people like that to just, somebody twice her size, look at, unfortunately,
that adrenaline gets going.
Yeah, it's insane.
Heat of passion. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Things that people can do. So what time was your next thing? I'm not trying to get you out of here.
Oh, no, you're good. I'm going to have lunch. Like, I shot over here today and just had coffee, so I'm going to go grab some lunch and just hang out the rest of the day and make the most of it.
Yeah, well, we just wanted to do a live, and you were here,
so, much
so you
fun.
Agreed to it. I was like, that's great.
Yeah.
And we'll get back to doing what we're doing and probably do some lunch as well. And it's great seeing you.
Yeah, good seeing you. It's been nice hanging out with everybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's always nice to actually
meet
people in
person. It really is.
And say, wow, Scott, you're much fatter than I thought you were.
No, I said tall. tall.
Are you calling me fat?
No.
All right, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, so, thank you for inviting me on. I've been looking forward to this all day, and so I'm glad we were able to do it. I know a lot of our listeners are watching, and so, they really loved when we did that months ago, so we need to do this more often.
Yeah, we do, because, you know, like I said, it doesn't hurt anybody. It's not like we're only I can talk about this case.
No.
And I don't know, like... you're there. I mean, in so many of these cases, you know the people.
Right.
Much, you know, the Woodcocks are great. And
yeah.
Like I said, everybody loves you. I mean, you just have this trusting thing about you where I can see where people want to confide and tell you all the good stuff.
And you know, and doing it with Fruit Loop, she's her heart is in it for the right reasons, and I'm glad that comes across, because that's what we want to do, is do this for the right reasons, and it's easy to do with her. And but we appreciate your support, because you've definitely put us out there for your listeners, and we're very grateful.
Yeah, well, thank you, and you're welcome anytime. And
appreciate it.
We'll be listening to your show as well. So, Pretty Lies and Alibis. Do you have a website or anything?
We're all over. So it's prettylesandalibis.org. It's not like super intricate right now. We're wherever you have podcasts, wherever you listen, we're on there. We have YouTube as well. So give us a subscribe if you don't mind. We're trying to grow that. That's kind of our thing now, is to grow the YouTube, do a lot more lives and things like that. So, yeah, we appreciate everything.
Well, great.
Well,
thank
this
you
is
for
a blast.
Here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. I want to thank everybody for joining us live here from CrimeCon. Las Vegas 2022. I think we'll be in Orlando in 2023.
Yeah, for sure. But I got to have Fruit Loop with me.
Absolutely. I've got to meet her. She's a hoot on the
My partner in crime, literally.
She's a hoot.
She is so fun. She is hilarious. Yeah.
All right. We'll see you next time.
All right.
We'll see everybody next time. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.